Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Thank you so much for joining us on this special edition of the Good Fight Radio Show, where we are going to be joined by David Fiorazzo, author, an associate pastor. I mean, there's a list of things, radio show host for Stand Up for the Truth. But today specifically, we are going to be talking about canceling Christianity, not doing it, but the book Canceling Christianity by Dave Fiorazzo. So we want to welcome Dave to the Good Fight Radio Show.
Hey, Chad, guys, thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to this.
Well, praise God, Dave. And as I told you before the show even started, you are the first. Yes, that is right. Dave Fiorazzo is the first person to ever come back on the Good Fight Radio Show after already interviewing with us. So wow. I'm excited. You know, one of the good things is, even though you've been in radio, Dave, you don't have a face for radio. So it's nice to have you on video this time.
All right. Yeah, it's good to do this. Yeah, I got to expand our horizons.
Yeah, amen to that, bro. And I'm excited. You know, you've been a blessing, I know, to the body of believers here at Blessed Hope Chapel plenty of times before. Also, I mean, you probably have this in common with me. We're not even the most talented person in your own household, because your wife, Rosanna, is also an artist who is featured on the Good Fight Radio Network, actually.
Right.
So, you know, praise God. I know... how it is being, you know, the second most talented person in the household. So yeah. Praise God for that, Dave.
Hey, you know what, Chad? I want to say something real quick. We used to live out there, and we're at Blessed Hope Chapel for a while. You guys at your church, you are very blessed. And I know it's easy to take a good thing for granted. And I just want to tell you, we're in the Midwest now. It's not easy finding solid Bible-believing churches, not only that preach the whole counsel of God, but that are willing to address the culture and the social issues and politics and everything else that's going on while going through the scriptures. It's really hard to find someone with such a great balance. And you guys, kudos to you for just staying strong and solid all these years. So I miss not seeing Joe today, but we'll catch him next time.
Yeah, amen. Praise God. And I want to thank you for that. Yeah, I could not give more of an amen how blessed we are here. And you know what? But it's always awesome to also speak with somebody. And I know you deal with a ton of stuff on Stand Up for the Truth, as well as when you teach. I want to get into some of those, but we do got to talk about this book. I have it in my hand, and I'm just going to be honest with you. Let me get it up there so everyone can see it. I'm just going to be honest with you. The reason why it's not on the stand is because I was reading it even today. I was checking it out, and I really want to encourage you guys to check this out, Canceling Christianity. And now, the first time someone hears that, they may think, canceling Christianity, what is he talking about? And in fact, I was holding this at the gym, and I'm wondering, wait, I wonder if anyone's thinking, I'm thinking I want to cancel Christianity. Yeah. So, wait a second. The first thing I got to ask you, Dave, is can we cancel Christianity? Or can the world really cancel Christianity?
Okay. No, Jesus is Lord. He is our final authority. His word endures forever, and our God cannot be canceled. There, that's a little effect there. That's the back cover of the book. So I had to put that there just so people understand where we're coming from. Jesus cannot be canceled. They killed him, but look what happened. He was raised from the dead. He sent his Holy Spirit. Now we are more powerful in the world as a body of the body of Christ, because Jesus sent his, we have the power, that same power, but no one can cancel God. You're not going to try to, well, here's the thing. People are trying. Here's what it is. It's not just the atheists. It's just people who want to live their own way. Everyone wants to do what's right in their own eyes. We're in a Romans 1 society now. Unfortunately, this is America, land of the free, right? But we are in a Romans 1 society, where it's a depraved mind. It's the reprobate mind. So everyone's trying to do what's right, or everyone thinks they're doing right in their own moral relativism on steroids. So if you want to live like that, you obviously are not living for God. So either purposely as an agenda or as someone who is deceived, you're trying to cancel Christianity. What do I mean by that? I mean the biblical worldview. And what this comes down to, Chad, is you guys often talk about, this is a worldview war. It's a war in the spiritual realm between the forces of darkness, but there is a war being materialized. It's being in the natural, and we're seeing that in America. We're seeing the opposition. It's so intense, the battle now. In fact, I want to share a quick quote from Francis Schaeffer. I have this toward the very back of the book in the conclusion. I want to share this. And this is part of the reason we have to understand the war is on, and we've got a choice to make. Are we going to stand, or are we going to just try to look out for number one, avoid anything that's uncomfortable, and just, you know, remain lukewarm? Francis Schaeffer said, we as Bible-believing evangelical Christians are locked in a battle. This is not a friendly gentleman's discussion. It is a life and death conflict between the spiritual hosts of wickedness and those who claim the name of Christ. And these spiritual hosts of wickedness, you know, Paul writes about the armor of God and spiritual warfare in Ephesians chapter 6. It's materializing now in the natural. I call them minions, right? Both human and demonic forces. Human force, meaning people are influenced by this antichrist spirit of the age. I know that's a long answer to your original question, but no, our God cannot be canceled, but this is the war that's happening right now. They want to remove any kind of influence of Christianity, any kind of biblical morality. I want to share with you, I've got this, I got another computer over here. 2 Corinthians 2:15 through 17, it talks about the Christians being the aroma of Christ. And this is what they want to get rid of. They want this stench of wickedness and lawlessness, right? It says, we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance of death, from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not like so many peddlers of the word of God, but men of sincerity commissioned by God in the sight of God. We speak in Christ. What does that say? Sum that up. We are supposed to be a salt, a preserving influence, and to be an aroma, a flavoring that lasts, an influence in our culture. But if you look at America today, you're thinking, well, David, well, look at what's going on out there. It doesn't look like there's that much aroma of Christ. Well, who does that fall on? Us. There's agendas against God. There's agendas since the beginning. For thousands of years, societies have tried to eradicate Christianity. But, of course, they cannot. But they're going to try. They're trying to wipe out any influence. So there's the long answer to your short question, Chad.
No, that's really, really important. I think one of the most important things you mentioned there, specifically recognizing the spiritual aspect of this, the spiritual warfare that we are engaging in.
I think that
does get suppressed by so many people. And sadly, it gets suppressed by believers who just kind of think that, you know, Satan's just sitting back while babies are being slaughtered and all of this is going on. We're interviewing right now in June. What month is that? Gay Pride Month.
We've already seen that all over the internet, on Facebook, Google. They're all putting their celebrations out there. This is an interesting thing. Of course, you know, the sin of pride itself, right? Does God love or admire or commend pride? Absolutely not. But gay pride, it's like this crazy promotion of the perverse is what we're seeing. And we've gone in my lifetime, you're a little bit younger. In my lifetime, we've gone from, let's just say, abortion, homosexuality, to major movements in our country and sins, right? We've gone from a time in the 60s, 70s, when it was spoken of in hushes and whispers, abortion, pregnancy, abortion, right? Out of wedlock. And then, you know, look at now. Now, so gay pride, same thing. Homosexuality, ooh, gay. They flipped that definition and meaning. Now they made it something good, something that's normal, natural, and healthy. That's the propaganda. It's not normal, natural, or healthy, but this is what, now they want us to celebrate it. So we've come all the way to this point where big tech and everyone else, the culture, the media, it's celebrating it, and so is the administration in the White House. We'll get to that maybe at some point.
Oh, yeah, no, without a doubt. And I think to summarize that, I think you do a great job in quoting John Wesley on page 91 of your book in the introduction, where you say, what one generation tolerates, the next will embrace. And I think you just really laid that out as some evidences that that has been the case. And, you know, we were just talking about this recently. It was not that long ago. It was 2008, I believe, that specifically, Prop 8 here in California, I mean, this is the epicenter of liberalism. And here in California, we passed a law against gay marriage, which they threw out just not too much longer later. But imagine that being voted on now, especially with the young generation of trained Marxists that have come up now through the school system. And you know what? This is not your first book. I want to read off some of the titles that Dave has already written before I ask the next question. He's written Redefining Truth, The Cost of Our Silence, Eradicate, Blotting Out God in America. There's a theme here I see.
Interesting. Dave. It's very interesting.
And that's then the I see
Go ahead.
Canceling Christianity. I got to ask you, why did you write this one? What gave you the impetus to say, I want to write this book right here?
A lot of things, but I think I want to believe that it's the Holy Spirit, it's God saying, not a lot of churches are talking about this kind of stuff. Because I tackle everything from globalism to Marxism to the Black Lives Matter global network to the pro-choice movement that's so proud now that we talked about, to cultural Marxism, to radical socialist policies in our own government, all the social issues and plus the spiritual warfare that's at the root of this. But I think it came down to three things, and it was last year, 2020. Three catalysts happened. It was like the perfect storm for the enemy, for the left, and for Satan, for godlessness, that divided the country and that sent just all these things going just through the roof. First of all, it was a presidential election year, and you know the political divide. Since Donald Trump was elected, they have nonstop attacked him, lied about him, brutalized him, treated him unfairly in the media. I'm not condoning his character and all of his tweets and all of his morality or his background. But as I write later in the book about policies, platforms, and procedures, we have to look at biblical worldview and what's being passed as far as legislation, but I'll get back to that. So we had the presidential election year and the political angst that was dividing not only the country, but the church, Christians. That's interesting. If you look at some of the policies, which I get into in one of the chapters, the later chapters in the book, most of them, if you didn't know who was president, you would think he's a Christian president or a Bible-believing president, the pro-life, religious freedom, the other policies that he was passing. So what I found was the church started to divide, and then came the Black Lives Matter riots, which lasted through the summer. But then on top of that, police were told to stand down. Law and order. The left just said, get rid of that. Anything they do is justified. So this is lawlessness. This is a spirit of lawlessness now. So we had that. And on top of all this, as you well know, COVID-19, I call it the big Rona, the Rona virus. So three things that the country was reacting to and that the church was reacting to. And all along all those things, churches were deemed non-essential, which we may or may not get to in this interview, which was astounding to me. And if you live in America, you're going, wait a minute, the church is not essential? That's why I had to write one of the chapters on the great positive impact and influence of Christianity in the world and in America. I had to kind of sum that up in one of the early chapters to establish some ground. Because right now, kids are being raised in the public education, the government-run school system, to hate God, Christianity, the Bible, the Ten Commandments, any kind of morality. And this is just completely opposite of when at least I or my parents or grandparents were going through growing up in America. So we've changed. So when I see all these things coming to a head, I realize we're at a tipping point. The world is going to do what the world is going to do, right? They need to hear the gospel. They need to be saved. But the church, when some of this stuff started seeping into the church, people saying, yeah, we should shut down for 6 months. Or, yeah, let's lock arms with Black Lives Matter and go protest. Or, yeah, orange man bad. Trump is the worst president. They're comparing him to Hitler. When some of that talk, that propaganda, those lies come into the church, that's what really raised my eyebrows. And we saw Christians being censored, conservatives by big tech being canceled. Where did this whole idea of cancel culture come from? Well, they tried to cancel Jesus, of course, but, you know, we said that earlier, he was raised from the dead. You can't cancel Jesus, but his followers, we're going to have to pay a price, and there is a cost. So I'm not taking this lightly. Anyone who wants to take a stand like you guys, exposing the deeds of darkness, not partnering with them, like Ephesians 5:11, I believe. So we're going to pay a price. It says, the Bible says. So I thought, okay, this is all coming together. This is what they're trying to do. It's a worldview war. They're not going to be successful in the end. I hate to give that away. It's in the end of the book. In the Bible, too. They're not going to be successful, right? They cannot cancel God. They might kill us, but we live forever in heaven with Jesus, forever with our blessed hope. So we're good to go, most of us. So we can have that peace. But in this world, Jesus said, oh, you're going to have tribulation. So that's what happened when I saw all these things happening in 2020 coming together. It reached a boiling point, and some of the effect of what was going on in our culture was to take it out on the church, on Christians, because of some of the lies and propaganda that had been built up for so many years, and especially last year with everything that was coming to a head.
Wow. Yeah. And I definitely see why you'd want to be writing this book, Canceling Christianity. And it is really important for us to recognize, like you said, the spiritual aspect of all of this. And one of the things, as we saw the lawlessness, you know, that's specifically Jesus spoke to that in the end times, lawlessness will increase and the love of many would grow cold. And that's one thing that's been a prayer of mine over and over again, is that not only my own, but then, you know, the body of believers, that nobody's love would grow cold towards those who are going into this headlong, and people that are falling for so many different idioms and maxims and things. You know, I think both of us, I know both of us as brothers in Christ, and I know you deal with that immediately in the chapter, I believe it's chapter 7 specifically, where you talk about, hey, we are all one race, specifically from Acts chapter 17. We are all one race, the human race. And we obviously have different cultures, and we're now being separated by melanin. And you talk about Black Lives Matter, which we'll get to later in the interview. Maybe, well, hopefully we will. You know, but I think that any blood-bought believer would be very easy to say, every life, yes, including my Black brothers in Christ, their lives do matter. It's very simple and easy, and I don't want to be friends with somebody who doesn't believe that Black lives do indeed matter, specifically, not just specifically, but also the ones that are pre-born as well. But nonetheless,
amen.
We don't want to get ourselves arm in arm locked up with a group that is not only Marxist, but is satanic, honestly, at their edifice, you know? And I think you bring that out in the book as well.
Well, that's what we saw happen. That's what I saw happening, which led to some of the material in the book. I thought, well, wait a minute. I did just some basic research on Black Lives Matter. It doesn't take much time. So I realized how lazy a lot of people were. And I'm sorry to say, guys, that in the church, a lot of Christians just didn't take the time to research it. The information was out there. Now, a lot of it has been scrubbed from their website, but as I write, they're anti-family, they're anti-Christ, they're pro-Marxist, pro-socialist, they're pro-abortion, pro-LGBT. So imagine well-meaning Christians going out there, locking arms, wearing the thing, the Black Lives Matter, and then they see this flag for the LGBTQ. Oh, okay, hi, yeah, come on, join. Well, that's kind of odd. As a Christian, you're going, okay, Black Lives Matter, so we're talking about race, we're talking about injustice. And you're looking over there saying, well, okay, all these LGBT banners. All right, well, that's interesting. And then you're seeing another faction promote Marxism openly. Karl Marx wanted to eradicate God. He wanted, religion is the opiate of the people. And, you know, you guys all know all that. So I'm thinking, okay, we've got Black Lives Matter. So I'm marching for racial injustice. We got the LGBT, which goes against the Bible, biblical sexuality. And then we've got the pro-choice crowd that's out there with Black Lives Matter. The pink banners for Planned Parenthood. I'm going, now this is really interesting. How did all these come together, this coalition of groups and entities, and they all are really the antithesis of the biblical worldview? But Christians didn't do their research. They're out there already. And here's what I think happened, Chad. Sadly, I think a lot of people, they jumped well-meaning, but maybe naive, ignorant, deceived, however you want to describe it. They're out there. Of course, Black Lives Matter. But once they're out there, they're kind of invested, right? So that's what I kind of saw happening with a lot of people. In fact, I even had conversations at church. I did a sermon that was pulled off of down, by the way. But anyway, I did a sermon on this, comparing Christianity and Marxism. In fact, I get some of that in one of the chapters in the book. And I was just talking, going through this, how the Marxist ideology is about oppressor and oppressor and oppressors, or those who are oppressed. And it just talks about some things that are not biblical. I'm going, well, how do Christians fall for this? It's this emotion of the moment. We don't look at facts and research as much, or truth even. We look at, how does that make someone feel? I want to be liked. I want to like them. I want to show them. And this is where virtue signaling comes in when you talk about Black Lives Matter or anything. I'm loving my neighbor. Really. You're loving your neighbor by going out and marching against things that are against biblical principles. And so it doesn't make sense. But once they're in that contradiction, I've seen it. Most people will not go back and go, yeah, good point. Now that I read the Bible, now that you point out these things and what they stand for, okay, I understand that. Why is it so hard to admit we're wrong? Why is it so hard to say, yeah, you know what? I jumped the gun. And this is where we're at today. So the virtue signaling, you don't love your neighbor if you don't stand for racial justice, right? Or against racial injustice. And it goes on and on. And we saw that in COVID too, right? If you don't wear your mask, you don't love your neighbor. All the virtue signaling, I'm going, come on, people. Let's not divide over some of these issues, but let's be informed. Let's have that biblical worldview. That's our foundation. But we need to know what the Bible says and how to apply it. So how to respond to these moments, these cultural moments in our recent year and a half history here in America are very important. And I don't think the church responded overall as well as we could have.
Yeah, amen. And I think that when it comes to anything, you know, Philippians 4:8, you know, the first thing it starts off with is whatever is true. Mm. And one of the saddest things I saw was when the SBC, the Southern Baptist Convention, actually voted in critical race theory, as you were talking about cultural Marxism, voted that in as an analytical tool that should be used inside the churches. Now they're having another meeting coming up, and supposedly that's not going to be winning in the voting. Hopefully, Lord, we're praying that doesn't get accepted, because as you mentioned in the book, in chapter 7 of Canceling Christianity by Dave Fiorazzo, guys, this is something really, really important that we're recognizing. It is so, it's not that it's non-biblical, it's anti-biblical.
Yes.
It's against the word of God. Specifically, as you quote in here, Ezekiel chapter 18, that entire chapter starts with them complaining and God saying, guess what? You are not allowed to say this in all of Israel, that the fathers eat sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. And he goes over and over again to say, it doesn't matter about the sin of the father, the sin of the son. It is the soul that sins that shall die.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where is our focus as believers? You know, we care about justice. That's why we're talking. That's why we're having this show.
Of course.
Because we do care about justice. We do care about these things. But it doesn't mean that we throw out everything and we throw out truth as well. And that is really, really important, because as you already quoted in Philippians 4, we want to make sure that whatever is true, whatever is lovely, of good report, these things, meditate on these things. And this is really important. And you know what? I was looking on your Instagram, and I saw that you already mentioned this a little bit about a sermon being taken down, but they've actually been trying to attempt to cancel you putting out ads for Canceling Christianity. Is that right?
Yes. Facebook has rejected 4 ads so far. I'm not sure if I'm going to keep trying, basically they can demonetize you or deplatform you. But if you have a page, in other words, if individuals, we have personal accounts or profiles, if you're a ministry or an author or something, you can have a separate page, and that's your ministry page or your author page. Then you can actually boost posts and advertise whatever product it is, whatever you want to have up there. So I've tried to put my book on Facebook and advertise so that it, why? So that it will show up in people's news feeds. Now, I need to go back a little bit. For the last 5-6 years, I've been shadow banned. Stand Up for the Truth has, I don't know, 24,000 likes or fans or friends. We post our daily podcast on the Facebook page every weekday when there's a podcast. Approximately 4 or 5 people like it. Wait a minute. I thought you just said you had between 24 and 25,000 fans or friends or people that follow your page. Yes, we do. Well, how come only a few of them like it? Do everybody not like it? No, they're not seeing our news feed. So shadow banning means you as an individual or a ministry can post something on Facebook. It'll go up. It'll go live. You'll see it. You can post something. In other words, they're not preventing you from posting, but they're not allowing it to be seen by people in their news feeds. That's shadow banning. I've been shadow banned for years. So with a new book now, and every one of my other books, I was able to do this. I was able to promote and put it out there so Christians or people that like my page or their friends who probably are conservative or Christian, they'll see it. Not this time. So they're really kind of tightening the reins on Christians, conservatives, Republicans, independents, people who want to put up their, even people who just disagree with what's going on politically or what's going on with the COVID virus, with the research, science, right? Remember, science doesn't speak, scientists do. So whose scientists are you, what science are you listening to? But anyway, yeah, so they've canceled 4 ads. And it's ironic, the book is called Canceling Christianity. And here's a Christian author trying to put a book up on Facebook, and they rejected it 4 times. You know, Twitter, they're all doing the same thing. In fact, there are a lot of people. I wrote an article about a month ago. Censorship is here, and they're coming for you. If you're a Christian who speaks the truth, there are silent Christians they'll never touch because they don't care about you. You're not a threat. You're not speaking any truth. You're not sharing the gospel. You're not talking about these issues from a biblical perspective. You're not responding the way I believe we should be in these times, because people are suffering, people are dying, not only spiritually, they're literally dying, right? I mean, these are some dangerous times we're in, when big tech can come against the individual and there's no laws, there's no restrictions. That's too much power. And that's what I write about in the chapter on a one-party media and big tech conglomerate, because they censor you. But I will say kudos to all my friends who have seen a few of my posts, or that know that the book is out. They might not see the post, I should say, but they know the book is out. What they've done, they get it in the mail and they go, okay, click. They'll take a picture of it or them reading it, and then they'll share that picture. Well, I'll share that. More people will see that than will actually see what's on my page, if that makes sense. So thank you. God bless you. I cannot do this without people sharing and putting it out there. It's because of them. And then some people, friends with ministries like yourself, like others, they've ordered cases, like or a case of books at 50% off. So let me know if you need info on 50% off, a bulk order, if you want to provide them for your ministry or bookstore or whatever. But that's what's getting it out there. But censorship, it's here. And we can expect more of it, I think.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, please consider visiting our Patreon page at patreon.com/goodfight. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062. Or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.